Hey, this is Allison.
And this is Britt.
These are the true stories about the good, the bad, and the funny.
Shared by you, but told by us.
This is GabFest.
Let's gab.
We're on.
Hey,
mics are hot.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Okay. I got to brainstorm to see if I have any someday you'll laugh about this moments this week. What about you?
Well, I feel like I've shared a lot lately. I think it goes in spurts. Do you feel like that? Like the universe just like takes turns.
Several things happen to you and then you get a little break, which is nice.
Yeah. You need to be able to come up for air every now and then. So this is funny. And this is regarding a listener in my interaction. So she's probably going to be listening to this. And I told her, I'm like, we might be sharing this on the podcast. And we were just laughing. So I was going down to the gym, and it's hard because our elementary school in our area, the one that my kids and her kids go to, they like start an hour later than the rest of the schools. It's kind of hard to explain, but the buses were too full and all this stuff. So they had to bump us an hour later. So it just throws off your morning a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of rushing. So I was rushing to get to my exercise class to 9:15.
Okay.
So that people who had kids at that school, because it was affecting a lot of people. So you're still kind of rushing though. And
it's like Box Elder School District. If you only understood the ripple effect
that I have strength at nine
and jazzercise at 9:45.
Yeah.
So and jazzercise is not just me being a joke. It's real. Allison goes to jazzercise.
Hey,
no shade.
Listen, except for I feel like you are giving me shade
I just feel like people think that I'm like making that up to be funny. It's real. And it's
I actually go to jazzercise.
And I have
gone
to jazzercise with you.
And it's a great workout.
It's a good time.
So anyway, and I have several instructors and gabbers that are my jazzercise friends. Mm-hmm. And this happens to be one of them. Mm-hmm. But I pulled up to a light and I was waiting to turn left. And naturally, you know, what do you do when you're sitting at a light? You get on your phone. No, you should not do that. But I did. I was checking my email and I was tracking a package and super important. And all of a sudden I hear this beep. And it's like, I looked up and the light was green.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh gosh, I'm embarrassed. So I kind of we did the little wave, you know, like, sorry. And kept driving. As I'm driving, I'm like, this person's like changing lanes as the same as me. Okay. They're turning the same as me.
They're hunting you down.
No, no. But I was like, they're going to jazzercise right now because I couldn't tell who it was. And so I pull into the parking lot. They pull in the parking lot. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. She might be a little embarrassed.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So then once she pulls in, I see this sticker on the back of her window of her business. Uh-huh. And I knew who it was immediately.
No. Uh-huh.
So then I go into the gym and when she walks in, we just like meet eyes and she's like, I'm kind of embarrassed. And I was like laughing so hard. And so then I start telling the class, like, and the instructor, like, so-and-so was laying on her horn. And she's like, it was a friendly beep. And do you remember our road rage episode where like we were talking about, there's a difference, there's a beep and there's a, and she definitely did. It was a very like non-aggressive
beep
and just kind of like, hey. And I was like, listen, I'm just giving you crap. Like I was in the wrong. I was on my phone at the stoplight. And so now it's just like this funny thing. So then I walked in the other day and my teacher's like, did you have anybody honk at you today? Like, you know, and she's just like, oh my gosh.
Well, I honked at a guy on the way here and
you did?
Instantly felt bad. I'm like, it really
was
him.
Why did you see that he was crying or something?
He pulled over. He threw his hands in the air and pulled over. So I felt really bad. I feel like it was maybe an old man that was frustrated on the road.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm a jerk.
Why did you honk at him?
So
what were your reasons?
You know, when you get you're trying to get on the freeway heading to your house from my house.
Yeah.
You know how you stop at that light or you can just keep merging on to the freeway.
Right.
He was coming to a full stop on that merge.
And you're like, and I'm going to get rear-ended. Yeah.
Bro, we're coming in hot. Yeah. We're gaining speed to get to the I-15.
You have to merge assertively.
He started stopping because the other cars had a red light, but it's not for our lane.
Yes.
And he threw his hands up immediately, like, pulled over, like, I'm getting out of the way for you, witch.
Yeah.
And
did you see him mouth that?
I'm getting out of the way for you, witch. So I really felt bad because he seemed very thrown off.
But it's like a panic, like,
other cars going to come up fast.
We had that situation where we were turning into Target in Riverdale, which is just a nightmare anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who turned in front, like literally stopped after they turned in and we were following them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, we're going to get our hit.
People on Riverdale Road have no mercy.
No.
They're flying in there.
Right.
Whether you like it or not.
But they apparently were trying to make an immediate left into a parking lot. Oh. But drive around.
Applebee's.
Yeah, it was. It was Applebee's. And I'm like, listen.
You're not going to be eating good in the neighborhood if you get in a car crash.
No. And not if I have anything to say about it. If you make me hit you because my butt was hanging out and I wasn't even driving. I was with my friends. But we were like, ah. And she's like laying on the horn. Yeah. And it's like there's multiple different entrances into the Applebee's parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So just like move along.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. yeah, a couple road rage incidents made me think of our road rage episode that we had.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, this subject matter, I told Spencer when he was like, what are you collecting stories for? And I said, birth stories. And he immediately got the emoji eek face.
Eek. Sorry, what?
You know that eek face that the emoji makes? Yeah,
sorry, I missed what you were saying at the beginning. I was reading a story.
So when I told Spencer what topic we were collecting for, right, that was his face.
I know. So this has been on the docket for the GapFest docket for a little while now, because we were like, do we go there?
It's a little much.
Right. Well, it can be. Mm-hmm. And we do have male listeners. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, though, it's very natural.
This is a part of life.
We all it's had nature. To have this happen to be here.
Uh-huh.
So.
And from the stories that I've gathered, there's nothing very
graphic
or gruesome. It's more just funny scenarios or weird, right, wacky things happening amongst, okay, the already ensuing chaos.
Right. You know? And let's be honest, like inherently having a baby is just an awkward situation. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm, it's beautiful. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's wonderful. Of course. But it's also incredibly uncomfortable, scary.
Uh-huh.
You have no pride. Everyone's seeing all your bits. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're so vulnerable,
mm-hmm,
and you're not yourself. Mm-mm. Like it brings out everyone's true
a weird
colors.
Side. Yeah.
Or maybe weird, not even true colors. It's might not even be fair.
No, it's not. It's more just like it brings out a side of you you may not know had existed.
Right. Right. We are talking labor and delivery stories. Mm-hmm. And I actually asked for some as well. If any of you were like L&D nurses, mm-hmm, doctors, because those are funny too. And you, mm-hmm, you get the weirdies. And don't worry, HIPAA's not coming after you because you're not saying any details. So it's just a story.
No names, no hospital locations, nothing will be disclosed.
Right.
So going along with the nurses,
uh-huh,
this listener wrote in, she said that the nurses, they were trying to be really nice. Mm-hmm. They would come in and check on her and all this kind of stuff. And they'd look at her and be like, oh, you look great. You don't look like you've even had a baby.
Yeah.
And I think when you're in your normal state of mind, that you're like, oh, thanks or whatever.
Yeah.
But she was just feeling not great.
Yeah.
She was sick of them saying stuff like that. So, like I said, usually.
How dare you compliment me?
Yeah. Usually in your right mind, you appreciate a compliment, yeah, and you write it in your gratitude journal later that night. But this person was kind of sick of it and your hormones are going and you're not feeling great.
Right.
So the next nurse that came in and said that type of thing, she snapped and said, well, the baby didn't come out of my face. So that's probably why this looks fine. That doesn't. And
if you could check on that, I'd appreciate it.
And the nurse.
Because it doesn't match. What's going on up here is not reflective.
Upstairs doesn't match the downstairs.
Nope.
We're looking at a new construction / unfinished basement situation. And she's like, I know it was such a not nice thing to say.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how did she react?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, she immediately was like looking at the ground and was like, I'm so sorry. You're right. I shouldn't say anything. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to come across anything bad. And she's like, she didn't talk to me for the rest of the thing.
Oh.
And
the rest of her stay.
Yeah. And so then this listener felt like she needed to write her a card.
Yeah.
And say, I apologize. I snapped. I just feeling very emotional,
right?
At
hormonal,
the time.
Mm-hmm. All the things, just trauma, body trauma just happened.
Uh-huh.
I know your answer to this,
okay,
but I'm curious about our gabbers, and maybe we'll put up a little poll.
Mm-hmm.
Help me remember that.
Okay,
we record these in advance, and mm-hmm, so I forget what I make promises to, and I need Britt's help to be like, remember how you said, man, you were going to do this? And maybe I should take notes. Maybe I should, mm-hmm, have a pencil nearby.
Yeah,
probably.
Novel idea.
I think I have a good memory because listen to us tell these stories, but then it's like, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
So anyway, I am one that beyond the 30 days, that was a little long to stay, mm-hmm, at the hospital. I am one though with my other babies where I wanted to just max out the 48 hours.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a hurry.
I like people taking care of me. Sue me.
And my baby.
Yeah.
I want my baby too, but like, I just feel so out of sorts. Mm-hmm. My body's struggling a lot that I'm
diapers
like,
are provided for you on a cart.
Right. And they just like bring your baby to you.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're like,
also your meals,
you're like, I need a nap.
What's not to love?
Right. And so some people are like, no, I want to be out of there early discharge. I'm like, can you do those hours transfer? Like, if she doesn't want to take the remaining 6 hours, can you add it to mine? You know what I mean?
Or can you spot me 10 grand?
Right.
If I'm going to leave early, I need it to count.
That's true. If you're going to leave early, at least reimburse.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes.
It's kind of like when it's ridiculous at restaurants, mm-hmm. how when you say, okay, I want guac, they're mm-hmm. like, that's $1 million extra. And then if you're like, no sour cream, hold no pico, which I never get pico, or hold the tomatoes, are they taking money off?
No.
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 Works both ways, folks. So same thing with your hospital stays in labor. Mm-hmm. A lot of people too have feelings about, do we like have people in the room? Do we not? Mm-hmm. This listener said when they went into labor, they didn't tell a soul.
Really?
They were at the hospital all day and there was a huge car accident by her parents' house and they couldn't get a hold of them. She said her husband finally responded and said that, oh, we're good. And then they and didn't say anything about like, we're actually at the hospital. It's fine. And so finally called them at 10 p.m. after the baby was born and told them, hey, you have a grandchild. She said they didn't find out the sex and they would not tell the parents either until they came to the hospital the next day. She said her mother-in-law didn't believe them until the baby made a noise. And
like
then
a
she was, yeah, and then she was completely shocked. She said both parents were mad. But hey, she said, if you weren't there to put the baby in, you can't come to get the baby out. She highly recommends.
So
This is a little loaded.
The fact that the parents were both mad meant that they both wanted to be there, but she didn't want it.
Right.
And you're like,
but maybe they just wanted to be in the lobby. But maybe for her and for her husband, that was too much pressure.
Sometimes if you're like, if you know everyone's out there and just like chomping at the bit.
Right.
And you're like, you're really going through something. Okay.
Right.
I can't be responsible.
Right.
And I feel responsible for some stupid reason.
Right.
That you're like, oh my gosh.
Or like sometimes you feel, I know I feel like I have to host people. Like if they're there on behalf of
Does everyone have their appetizers ordered off of Grubhub?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Just making sure.
So maybe they were just like, I just need to be in the moment, not worry about anybody else. Mm-hmm. Maybe she knows these parents and maybe she's like, they'll head here.
Yeah. They'll come here.
Whether I say so or not. You know?
This listener, I'm excited because she sent in a couple of stories because she is a labor nurse.
Okay.
She said there was a delivery room with the mom was there and several family members. They were allowed 5 visitors. So
they
maxed it out. They get pretty personal with their patients because they often spend, a 12-hour shift with these people. And so she kept noticing as she'd go in and checking in and stuff that they were always like, oh yeah, grandma. They would talk to grandma, but she was like, it just seems like it's her mom and maybe like just younger people in there. She's like, I've never noticed anyone that seems like a grandma.
Grandmotherly.
Yeah. And she was kind of confused. Then she was like, oh, I heard you talking to your grandma, but I feel like I haven't even seen her when I've come in. So weird. And she found out that her grandma was in an urn on the windowsill.
Oh.
And they were talking to grandma.
I thought it was a ghost.
No. Almost.
What's just worse? Speaking to an inanimate object?
Or a ghost?
Right.
No, there was an urn that had been sitting on the windowsill the whole time, and people were addressing grandma.
Like she was just there
there.
They all of a sudden are just like, you're so funny.
We found a way around the 5 visitors rule. We have 6.
Grandma, look, you're on the precipice of dying anyway. So you could take one for the team. You can still be there in spirit or in ash.
Oh my God.
We found a way around the 5 person.
This person's like, no, I really would love Grammy's spirit here.
Well, is there with or without
always,
the ashes,
she's with
guys.
You. Don't worry. Yeah. She's there.
You don't need to carry around. Is this girl carrying the urn in her car or every time she wants?
Get really concerned just logistically about people carrying ashes around.
Yeah.
Because I'm like panicked thinking that it's going to be a meet the parent situation where it gets tipped over.
Right.
Where it gets jostled in a way that the ashes spill out. And
it
was a recipe for a ghost.
Right.
It's like you're going to
release
my ashes in the lobby of a hospital. okay. Well, we'll shift gears a little bit because we don't have anything to segue with an urn. It's only happened once so far that we know of. Okay.
Wait, that we haven't been able to find a segue or the urn in the labor and delivery room has only happened once.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I don't have another story that can segue with an urn. This listener, she said this is labor and delivery adjacent.
Okay.
but she was at work one morning. All of a sudden, she had a huge pain in her stomach that she threw up. Luckily, it wasn't just like mid-meeting or on her cubicle. Okay. She made it to the bathroom. but she was like, okay, maybe I just had like a crazy flu all of a sudden. Anyway, it did not get any better. So she went to the doctor. And he's like, due to your pain level and heart rate. So, you know, when you're like in way high stress,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And so apparently the pain was like sending it. He's like, we need to just go straight to the ER.
Oh my gosh.
So when your doctor says go to the ER, it must be really bad.
Yeah.
If they cannot attend, right?
Like,
what are you doing, doc?
Right.
Don't you have the same equipment as the ER? I mean, ER is just for when you can't make it to the, I don't know.
Never mind details.
But her mom ended up coming to be with her in the ER.
Yeah.
And she was actually prepping her younger son to go into minor surgery the next day.
Oh, no. She's like, way to pull focus, Mandy. It's always got to be about you.
And they could not figure out what was going on. So she said there was like 6 hours of blood tests, x-rays,
oh my gosh,
ultrasounds, waiting in the doctor's
all
office.
All the while, was she just like throwing up and so sick, I'm guessing?
I think she was just like in horrible pain in her stomach. And maybe she thought she was on that show. Like I thought before one time.
Right.
I'm a pregnant. I didn't know it.
Right.
They finally realized she's got an ovarian cyst on her left ovary. Mm-hmm. And she'd need to go into the surgery as soon as possible. She wakes up from surgery. The doctor came in to check. And she asked him if she was able to keep her ovary or if they had to remove it like they had talked about. And he said, yeah, we had to remove your left ovary and your left uterus.
Wait. Sorry. Isn't there just...
Yes, most of the time.
Is this like Dr. Kevorkian? Like, what's happening? So what hospital are you at, ma'am? He pulls out a jar. Want to see it?
Oh gosh.
You remember when people used to get to take their tonsils home?
Oh yeah.
That was
disgusting.
Whack attack. And you didn't, but my cousin did, and it was on his shelf for years. Just these tonsils, these little sick, literally. They don't take your tonsils because they're thriving. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're like, your tonsils are textbook perfect. I'd like to take them out. They're taking them out because they're diseased and they won't get better. And so now you have diseased flesh in a bottle and they just let kids take those home.
No, yeah. I would never. Mm-mm. Gosh, I would throw them out the car window.
Yes.
Like if I, for some reason, ended up with them on the way home. Forget it.
Someone's just walking by and they get slapped with some tonsils.
Okay. So then, obviously, very confused, as we are right now.
Yeah.
He goes, you probably don't remember our conversation because you were so out of it. So he said, let me just break this down for you.
Crucial medical conversations while I'm inebriated.
Yeah. Like if I am under anesthesia, just coming out, he's like, let me tell you the details. So once they were in surgery, they were able to see what was really happening inside her body.
Okay.
And they found a second, smaller left uterus that was only attached to her left ovary. So every time
they thought that was a cyst, but was it actually a uterus?
A full-on second uterus.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And she said every time that she would have her period, the fluid had nowhere to go but into that ovary. So she said the doctor estimated that the cyst that was created was about 10 centimeters.
Gosh.
And finally it was done filling up with fluid and burst. So it was like a burst appendix, but a burst ovary. And that's what was sending, making her throw up.
Yeah.
They said they cleaned out 2 liters of fluid. 2 liters. You guys, that is a Little Caesars size
root beer.
Root beer.
Oh my gosh. Where is it all going? Like,
so she said, needless to say, she lost a ton of weight.
Yeah.
2 liters or more.
Right.
And she says, I feel a lot better now.
I would guess so.
And she says, I still have my main uterus.
Yeah.
and then only one ovary. The other section, that the left side was, I guess, needed to go.
All together.
But she said, luckily, her little brother's surgery that was already planned and prepped was in the same hospital where she was.
Okay.
So her mom didn't have to drive across.
Oh, good. Across town
to multiple hospitals to tend to 2 kids.
They all know this mom very well.
Yeah.
In all the wings.
Hey, Brenda.
Yeah, and she's like, also, I'm going to be popping into the mental health wing when this is all said and done because I'm exhausted.
And then was able to tend to both of them at home to recover.
But I had no idea it was physically possible. Anything is physically possible.
Apparently.
I mean, if we're going there. But to have another uterus, to not know that you have another uterus, but I can see it happening because before you have babies, you're not poking and prodding around in there too much.
No.
You're not.
You're at a don't ask, don't tell situation.
Right. You're doing the bare minimum. gynecologically. And so there would be a chance that could be missed.
Yeah.
You're not having ultrasounds typically.
But plus, they said they did multiple ultrasounds, tests, and x-rays. So you're not going in voluntarily and being like, how about I just do all this for no reason?
Right.
It had to be a major medical emergency, and then the discovery was made.
That was very solved? Childbirth adjacent and very fascinating.
Educational.
You don't know what you don't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being labor adjacent, or not adjacent in the medical field, but I was literally adjacent to some of these people.
Okay.
In the hospital. Mm-hmm. Since I was kind of sitting around, I really wasn't supposed to get up much, but the little ice machine in a fridge was like kitty corner from my room. And then there'd be all these other rooms that people were staying in and having babies, but they were like in and out in 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I would keep some snacks in like the staff fridge. I made myself a home. Anyway, but at night when not as many people were there or watching me as closely, I would go and kind of walk around the halls. Yeah. Just because I was dying. I mean, you guys, your legs get so restless sitting like that and you're mm-hmm. pregnant. Sometimes when I'd wander around, I'd hear like ruckus and things going on. So one of the times when I was there, I heard the most animalistic scream I've ever heard in my life. Like primal from the depths of her soul screaming.
Oh gosh.
And I was concerned.
Yeah.
And I was filling up my ice and I was listening and like the ice was like spilling over my cup. Do you know what I mean? Cause I was just not really filling my ice. Mm-hmm. So I started to like tiptoe over by her door. Oh gosh,
don't get closer.
And I start listening and it's just like, and I was like, I like had my mouth covered. Like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh. And the nurses come running in mm-hmm. and I'm embarrassed because I'm not supposed to be up.
You're not supposed to be spying on someone and I just said, at one of their I'm most just, vulnerable moments
I,
of their
life. I wasn't
life.
Looking in the door and I just said, I'm just concerned. Is she okay? And they're like, yep, just please go back to your room. And one of the ladies goes, she just went from a 3 to a 9 in minutes.
Oh.
And she hasn't had her epidural yet. Mm-hmm. So she just was waiting on it. And it literally like progressed so fast.
Oh.
And I hear the people on the phone being like, get her the epidural, get her the anesthesiologist now. And later when I was talking to one of the nursing friends, they said that the husband had his back pressed against the wall. Like he couldn't even console this woman. It was like an exorcism situation. And they said she just progressed so fast and she was standing up and she was just gripping onto the bed and just screaming. And he just was pressed against the wall.
My word.
He didn't know what to do. It was that bad.
Who does?
I mean, you don't go holding her hand and telling her to breathe in that situation. You're going to get punched in the throat, you know?
Yes.
So anyway, that happened. And then I also had a girl have her baby in front of the elevator while I was there.
I forgot about that.
Yep. So same thing where.
I remember I rode the elevator like that day. I was like, right here?
Well,
right,
because, because they had like had to do full on cleanup right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was like her second or third baby, and then her other babies it took a long time, so mm-hmm. she waited. And that's the number one thing mm-hmm. I would recommend because I heard this story time and time again while I was there.
I waited too long.
They waited too long because their first one, they ended up getting sent home or whatever. But the thing is your body knows what to do usually on the second, third, fourth, fifth,
mm-hmm.
and so this girl waited too long mm-hmm. and ended up. Her husband said, I need a wheelchair for my wife. And when they came down, she was in front of the elevator and they like sat her down and she just pushed the baby out
on
the floor.
Oh my word. The elevator force.
I don't know if they were in, I think they were
like,
just
at the doors.
Yeah, at the threshold of the elevator.
Yeah. We had a couple listeners like write in about different things, like with her husband, like you were saying, that husband was like backed up against the wall. And it's hard to know what to expect. And these poor guys. I don't want to say poor guys because you are not the victim in this situation.
No.
But
if one thing's for sure though, if I'm screaming like that, you darn well better be in the thick of it with me.
Yeah.
You're not over there hiding in the corner. You stand up, be a man and you be by my side regardless of how scary I am mm-hmm. acting.
Cause this listener said that they went to the hospital, dilated to like an 8.5.
Yeah.
And she said she was making, guttural animal noises. And
And she said,
it's like you're having an out of body experience. Like, I've never heard that noise come out of my own mouth before.
Yes.
And she said, her husband said it was equal parts hilarious and heartbreaking.
No.
And I'm like, don't you say it was hilarious. You say it was heartbreaking.
You can say it was hilarious like a year later.
And you say that it is, speaking of adjacent,
it is heroic.
Adjacent to Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And because this listener, she said that she was going to get the epidural.
Uh-huh.
And she's leaning forward. You know, they have you bend over.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times they have the husband like grab your hand. So you're face to face with your husband.
Yes.
He's giving you some support.
And eye contact and whatever.
Yeah. While they do the epidural. And all of a sudden her husband is like, oh. And the nurse goes, are you okay?
No.
And she has to.
Dan, no, not right now, Dan.
And so she has to sit him down so that he doesn't pass out.
He didn't even see the needle. If he's
no, he did.
Oh,
he did.
Okay.
Because she goes, what in the heck? What was that?
Right.
Because like, I need you to be my rock right now.
Right.
And right now I'm the one holding it together.
You're a puddle. You're a hot mess. Not actually hot. You're just a mess.
Yeah. This is not hot.
This isn't attractive.
And he said, I wanted to be that for you. But he goes, when I saw that McDonald's straw needle
come out,
he's like, I couldn't. I lost it.
Oh my gosh.
Because it is. It's like a big, really big. I didn't even look at it. Don't show me.
Yeah. I would give my eye teeth to watch a man have a baby. Would you not?
Yeah. That would be.
Or be pregnant.
Because those strap-on bellies. Absolutely.
No, that's a TENS machine.
Or the ones that you like strap on that are like the size and they're like,
oh yeah.
This is kind of uncomfortable because my back hurts now. It's
no.
Like, no.
Your organs.
That is the least of it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Your hormones, your organs, your every function of your
nausea.
Body.
Like make him feel nauseated. Make him have acne. Make him
lash out irrationally because you don't have nacho cheese and you always hated nacho cheese before this.
And that you haven't been sleeping well. And so you're a little tired, mm-hmm. a lot tired, mm-hmm. like all the things.
Maybe make his ankles swell up.
Yeah.
And he can't wear his shoes and he has to wear flip-flops in January.
Or Crocs to work like I had to.
Scarlett was born January 28th. I wore flip-flops a whole month.
Yeah.
In Logan freaking Utah.
Same. December, I wore these Croc slip-ons and my feet were so jammed in there. Mm-hmm. I remember the girls in the graphic design department were like, I walked in for some reason and they're like, oh, your feet. I'm like,
rib.
That's the first thing people are noticing when I'm walking into a room.
That's my identifier. I was just going to say, working as a nurse, as a doctor in labor and delivery, it would be like working at Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to help support this woman through the epidural and suddenly you're catching a full grown 6-foot man
right.
from passing out.
Right.
And that's probably happening throughout the day.
Okay.
This is a labor nurse that wrote this in. She said they would have patients come in sometimes claiming to be pregnant.
Okay.
And in labor.
Yeah.
With their families right outside the room ready to meet baby.
Oh no.
These people are not in fact pregnant.
Oh.
She said sometimes like they are wearing bigger clothes or maybe they
look like they could be pregnant.
Right. And they'll do the ultrasound. They can't find heartbeat. They'll call the doctor. Come in. Can't find a picture of a baby.
Yeah.
And the doctor has to explain what the patient already knows, that she isn't pregnant.
Oh no.
And there's no baby. And so then he usually suggests a psych consultant.
Right.
As would I. But either way, it leads to very awkward conversations for the patients to explain to their families.
Yeah.
She said sometimes they would stick with the lie and they can't say a word.
Right. Because it's their medical, it's HIPAA.
False alarm family or something like that.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Hysterical pregnancy.
Yeah. Or phantom.
Phantom pregnancy.
So I love nurses and medical professionals. And mm-hmm. I think for the most part, 90% of them are pretty fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that 10% that you're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you here? Why did you choose to go into this? I mean, you had to go to a lot of school.
You seem pretty grimy with me right now.
And maybe like you don't know what you're doing or super jaded. Maybe you've been doing this too long.
Right. That's what I mean. Because I can't remember what it was. I felt like a little bit, there was a snippy one with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did to you, Stacey.
Right. And they got stuff going on in their personal lives.
Right.
Know? But this listener said, after she had her first baby, she went to clean up and take a bath. I'm raising my hand right now.
Yes, Allison, good question.
Why does she get to take a bath?
Right.
They told me I had to wait 6 weeks, and I love baths, and mm-hmm. I take baths probably twice a week,
mm-hmm.
if not more. And it's like my thing.
Well, and is there a bathtub in your hotel room? I mean, your hospital room?
Like, I don't know. Are you having a baby at a hotel? Apparently, where she bougie.
Bougie.
And she's some sort of
they're letting you do whatever you hospital? Want and get in the jacuzzi tub.
She like in the Delta Sky Club, but like for the hospital. Do you know what I mean? Where like she gets a special room and all that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they said she went to take a bath and get cleaned up. And the nurse left her IV in her arm. But like Britt hates talking about veins and IVs. It's a trigger point. Anyway, so she said, you know, you can unhook it, but you can still leave the needle in with that.
I'm sorry. I'm cringing so much. I love to watch the visceral, like, physical reaction that she has to this. Okay, so
anyway, you can just unhook the what's coming into the IV.
I would never want to get in the bath with a, you know, an IV in my hand.
Yeah. Well, guess what happened? So the nurse forgot to, like, plug the end up.
Oh my gosh.
And the girl was so out of it. She just had a baby, right? So she kind of just, like, gets on into the tub, but then she looks down and sees bath water seeping into her.
Oh my gosh.
Unplugged IV. She's got, like, Irish Spring seeping into her veins, like, mixed with dirty bath water. Because then she said she just looked down and saw it making her way into the IV and was like, oh no.
That would make me panic. Like, do I need some kind of shot?
Right. You remember how earlier we were talking about, like, when I was in the hospital and a girl came in and it was happening, well, two times, it was happening so fast and you're progressing so fast. So this listener said her delivery with her fourth and final baby was wild. She said she's always had fast deliveries, but this was next level. She said she was only about a three.
Okay.
Dilated to a three when she came in and when she was checked, but she knew from the past deliveries that this was going to go quick.
Uh-huh.
Not my story. Love to know the secret on that. She said she was getting close and she just could tell.
Yeah.
And so she kept saying to the nurse, like, hey, can you have the doctor come check me?
Mm-hmm.
And she just kept saying these patronizing things like, you're doing so good. And okay, yeah, like, we're going to get there and I'll get the doctor.
Cut
and
the crap, Liz. Get him in here.
I know my body. So finally, she just looked at her and was like, I need you to get the doctor in here to check me. I feel like I need to push. Mm-hmm. So she finally had the doctor come in and he was like, oh, yeah, she needs to push. And the nurse starts to push the button on the side of her bed.
The Craftmatic adjustable bed.
Yeah. To sit her up. And as she's sitting up, she just feels the baby slip out.
Oh my gosh.
And she just said to the doctor, I think I just had him. I kind of want to, like, punch this person in the face. I'm so jealous. I'm just kidding. And she said, and the doctor was like, oh, yeah, you did.
Pretty impressive.
She said everyone in the room was shocked.
Including herself.
Yeah. It just blows my mind. Like, mm-hmm. everybody's body's different. But, like, my third baby, I had to be induced because obviously there were complications and he was still preemie. So my body just, like, wasn't doing it because it was like, hi, we have more time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hi, no, we don't. You have given me, what is it? Not progesterone.
Pitocin.
Pitocin. And my body was, like, trying. Anyway, it got very crazy and very wild. And I said the F word. And I'm usually, like, in these situations, I don't want to be that girl that's like, yeah, like, screaming. Mm-hmm. But I had been in that room for 30 days-ish. And I said...
Who was present?
Just my husband.
Okay.
And
doctors, nurses?
No, okay. I was not progressing. And then, and they kept checking me and checking me. And I was in so much pain because they just kept upping the pit.
Yeah.
And I had been in that room and my mental status was not great. They said something like, we're going to come back in and check you in a minute or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and I said, if I have not at least gotten to a four, I'm going to jump out the effing window. And he's like, well, you've
She's
had
a pretty nice lady.
I haven't done that. Seen her do that. She said if she had to look at me for five more minutes, she was going to jump out the window. She's a really nice lady, so I wouldn't want her to do that. And my husband's eyes just kind of got big because, again, I am theatrical, but, like, I'm not typically one that's just like, and then his mom called and, like, within a minute or so of saying that and I could just
abort.
I could just hear him saying, it's not a great time. And him being like, and him saying, she's not doing okay. She's not doing great. And I was like, no, I'm not going to mince words here.
Maybe you should have taken that phone call in the hallway, Andy.
And then my husband,
now you're making it worse.
And then I said to my husband, well, my husband's response to my, I'm going to jump out the effing window was, he said, well, you've had your epidural. So I think it's safe to say you can jump out the window.
He's like, I'm not worried about this entry
actually
threat
happening.
it's all talk, guys. Don't worry. I'd like to see you try. Speaking of not a good time. Well, but this person, I think, actually appreciated the levity in the situation.
Okay.
She was going in for a C-section, which is high stress.
Yeah.
You know, and all this stuff. And she probably looked panicked. And her nurse just says, you know what? It might be time for a joke. You want to hear a joke?
So, ooh, tread lightly, Trina.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's like, okay, sure. Lay it on me.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
I'm drugged up enough. Anything could be funny.
She said, how does Snoop Dogg get his whites so white? Okay, right? And you guys are going to have to bear with me here because it's, I wish I could hear someone say it to me.
Right.
Because the way she typed it was like B-L-E-E-C-H. So it's like two different. So I'm like, is it bleach or is it like bleach? Either way, she loved it. Uh-huh. And they named their child after this nurse.
Oh, I was going to, I was glad it wasn't she named their child after Snoop Dogg. So Snoop D-O-double-G.
D-O-double-G.
I really like his songs. It's fine. It's a guilty pleasure.
It's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G.
Okay. That's so funny. She named her baby after that
after
nurse?
After that nurse.
If your joke
is so good.
Lands so well that someone names their child after you, you've arrived. Has anybody named their daughter Allison or Britt after us? After jokes?
So.
Come on, guys.
I don't think so.
They're great names. It would be really funny to do an episode of strange baby names because
I just don't want to offend anybody.
I know it's
true. Because someone's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's my baby name.
Right.
And she's adorable.
Right. I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. But nurses probably see some hilarious, fun, crazy names. Like my kids have unique names.
Like the urban myth of Shathid, you know.
Yeah. And I don't know. It might be real, might not. Shathid. It's terrible.
But you know how when I was like, being a labor and delivery nurse has to feel like you're working Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Because, and maybe this is because I'm picturing, like, you know when the raptor on Jurassic Park is in the stainless steel kitchen?
Yes.
And it jumps onto the countertop?
Yes.
So this listener said she has had four kids.
Okay.
Three out of the four have got their shoulders stuck on her pelvis during delivery.
See, I feel like that makes me cringe more than the veins and the needle talk.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm weird.
A shoulder to the pelvis inside.
Inside the pelvis.
Yeah.
She said, luckily none of them damaged muscles or broke their clavicle, which is common.
Oh my gosh. Common.
Yeah. But
imagine like you come into this world with a broken clavicle.
Right. Yeah. You're just
set up for failure.
It's going to be your Achilles heel your whole life. Mm-hmm. And she said, luckily it wasn't broken. She goes, but every birth was different. They,
yeah.
Somehow they were able to shimmy that baby out, but it was a different approach every time.
Mm-hmm.
She said the first time the nurse jumped on the bed with her.
Whoa, hold on. In what position?
Like, I don't know. But like I said, I'm picturing the raptor.
Yeah.
On just like, okay, here we go.
I like a girl who just,
it's like this.
Gets it done, though.
We need to get this baby out.
Pussyfoot around. That was a terrible pun. I asked my husband, I was like, hold on. I say that quite often. Where does that come from? Because it's an uncomfortable term. Literally like how cats walk. Like,
uh-huh.
Tenderly, mm-hmm. You know. So, but that was a terrible choice of words for what we're talking about.
Right.
I don't like it when somebody, and I was about to say beats around the bush, too. And that's terrible, too. I like someone who'll just get on there and get it
done.
Don't
be shy.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Get it done.
This needs to happen.
Yes. I'm just so curious. Was she straddling her? Was she,
I don't know. You know? I'm just picturing, like, it's time.
Yeah.
There was another saying that I said on the podcast, and I thought that mom would be like, oh, Britt. But then I found that it actually has an origin that is totally
innocent
and totally innocent. When I said balls to the wall once,
yeah,
and I was like, I guarantee mom's gonna be like, Britt,
yeah,
it does not mean balls in the sense that we all think it means.
Okay.
It's some kind of like catalytic converter type situation where when something gets really revved up, something like in engineering,
okay,
gets really revved up, and like there's these certain parts of the machinery that gets thrown to the wall when it's like ready to go.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, yeah, I'm just talking engineering, folks.
Right. You're so smart. You're basically a genius. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can put the P word. I think you might have to take that out.
But if you're saying it in the same way, in the phrasing that you did, there's a movie called Puss in Boots right now.
Right.
Out in theaters.
We went and
for
saw
children.
It. Yeah.
And I heard it's good. And I heard people cried. And no one's censoring the title.
Right. We'll see. We'll just see how it lands. You're just going to have to see. Well, this is a short one, but it's good. This listener said that her husband shattered the light fixture in the hospital room, carrying the chair over his head to sit by her bedside.
Oh my gosh. Well, that thing's right in the middle. You're shattering it onto your laboring wife.
I have a question. Is it like just the general light fixtures? It's probably the light.
Yeah.
The light that they use to really see.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because like my hospital room,
it's like overhead fluorescent lighting.
Right. So I bet it was, I'm guessing it was like the big old mama jamma that they like shine down there.
Let me know what your hospital bill was.
Right?
Oh
those things probably cost like $4,000. Don't you think?
Probably more.
Oh, if an epidural, if getting an epidural, have you guys ever looked at your bill?
I try not to.
They're like 12 to 15.
I call it an avoider.
Yeah. I like to look at it and be like, wow. Mm-hmm. They're like $1,200 to $1,500 mm-hmm. for an epidural. Mm-hmm. You guys, the guy that was giving me my epidural like the first time mm-hmm. was whistling, singing. He was opening the iodine packet. He threw it across the room.
He is acting way too cavalier. Right,
so casual. I'm like, my paralysis lies in your hands. And then it smacked the wall like the iodine packet and went and then slid into the garbage can. Like, this guy was a hot mess.
He's had a little something to drink.
And my husband was looking at me and you could tell he was trying not to make me panic, but he was kind of like,
is there any other epidural doctor
around? No, it already took 45 minutes for him to get there. And I was like
throwing things around the room.
He was just like willy-nilly. I'm like,
you're making me panic.
This guy makes $1,200 every 15 minutes. Just kidding. I don't know how much he's taking home, but it only takes like, if that, 15 minutes mm-hmm. in there. And he is just willy-nilly
throwing his equipment around the room.
Yeah. I'm like, you have nurses in here. I'd be like, hand things off.
At least yeah.
pretend like you're
pull the garbage bin near you.
Yeah. And then my second anesthesiologist, I was like, I could kiss you. He's like, oh, this is going to be easy. You're skinny. And I'm not.
I love you.
I'm not, because I'm 9 months pregnant. But if somebody, when you're 9 months pregnant, tells you you're skinny, I was like, I trust you with my life. I mean, I don't trust your judgment.
Throw any of your equipment around the room, I won't care.
I don't trust your judgment, actually, because you...
Once again, is there another epidural doctor around? One guy was too casual.
I believe they're called an anesthesiologist.
This guy's too much of a liar.
Oh, but if you shattered that light, man. Plus, you've got shards of glass when you're like,
right. I'm like, I guarantee they had to move rooms.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever dropped a glass in your kitchen?
And nobody move! Nobody move! I lost my contact! I'm like, seriously, do not come in here. You might step on a shard.
Well, and it feels like you like sweep a very vast perimeter of where the glass dropped.
And then the next day,
3 days later, you step on glass or fine glass. So that's what I'm saying. Like, they had to just shut that room down forever. Yeah.
You would have had to get wheeled out, full new costume.
Yep.
Costume. Gown.
I didn't get a costume, Brit. That's not fair.
I was thinking of gown.
They like how you steam it.
So this listener wrote in, and she said that her last delivery was what the nurses call a stop and drop.
Like stop, drop, and roll?
I mean, there was no fire involved that I know of.
Well, the ring of fire.
But she said she got there at like 6:30 mm-hmm. and had the baby at 6:45.
What? Again, yes. I don't understand how people's bodies happen? Like know what to do.
But she said she had to go to a hospital that she wasn't even registered for.
Oh,
because they were just like the nearest hospital needed to be in. So she wasn't even registered. They didn't have any of her information and they had the baby like that. Because it was so fast and so intense, she just kept being like, I'm so sweaty. I'm so sweaty, like dripping. Mm-hmm. And obviously no time for an epidural.
Right. That's
15 minutes.
Wowzers.
So she said she was just clenching on and grabbing things.
Uh-huh.
She accidentally grabbed the nurse's boob and yelled, oh shit. You know, sometimes you're just like, whatever.
I bet they've been kicked in the face.
I bet they've been, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And so he delivers the baby. They're taking care of the baby. And she was just so sweaty that she's just like, I got to start changing.
And I wonder if it was like, you know how after you sweat and then you're freezing?
Because
after I have babies, I get really shivery and clammy. Uh-huh. And then I like want to change them, get warm blankets. And I remember seeing you after you had your baby and they were piling on all
blankets.
These warm blankets from the warmer.
Well, it's probably a little bit of a form of shock.
I think so.
You know? And she goes, it was just so funny because like I said, it wasn't her normal hospital. So they're like, okay, now what's your name?
Yeah.
And what's your insurance?
She's like, you and I have just been to second base. Could I at least get your name?
And you are now undressing
fully.
She sent a picture to her like close friends and family, probably holding the baby or something.
Right.
And they're like, did you take a shower right before? She was that sweaty.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that would be pretty intense.
Yeah. Yikes.
To have a baby in 15 minutes.
Well,
probably with just some, whoever, whatever doctor was there.
Right. Or not even a doctor could have been. I mean, they take so long to like get you checked in and get you all settled.
And they're like, okay, the doctor, he's probably going to be around in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, he's on his dinner break
like,
right
what?
Now.
What?
Mine was at church.
Yeah.
My first one. They're like, she'll be here. She's at church. We have a great story on behalf of Mama Gab Fest.
Yep.
Our mother, Karen. So when she was having you, mm-hmm. right?
I think so.
We lived back, or I was not here yet. You guys lived back east. And so a lot of times in these bigger city hospitals, when you go to like your aftercare, they don't have enough room for people to have like their own rooms, mm-hmm. which is kind of mind boggling to me.
Yeah. Like that'd be so wild.
Yeah. So this woman that she happened to get put with was furious. And because her husband was a resident at that hospital, and she said,
isn't a resident like not yet a
that's
doctor?
That's what I said. I'm like, that's like a little lower on the totem pole. No offense if any of you are residents or married to some, but eventually they
you're
will.
Not like the hospital CFO or whatever.
Right. They're like, excuse me, my husband works at the front desk check-in. Do you know who I am? Like, they're still like training, basically. Yeah. Anyway, her husband is in his residency, so she demanded like a better room or like a room alone. So anyway, they're probably like, yeah, sure. Add it to her bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you can have a private room.
Have everything you want.
The price is right. So anyway, my mom was like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she got this other roommate and she said she was real funny from South Philly, kind of had a toot, you know, she really liked her. She was spunky. Well, it's like the middle of the night and they take the babies to the nursery uh-huh. at night a lot of times. So the moms can sleep mm-hmm. and the door kind of opens and my mom said it's dark and they bring this baby in and it's like, and she said it was a pretty bad cry. Like, whoa. And then she was like, oh my gosh, I really hope that's not my baby. She wheels the baby over and they're like, oh, you know, needs to feed or whatever. So mm-hmm. she started like sleepily in the dark, grabbing the baby and trying to nurse the baby. And the baby was just squirming and pulling away and she couldn't get the baby to latch. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she like looks down and is like, what? And she's like, this isn't my baby. Well, the best part about it was the baby from the first roommate, not the second one. Uh-huh. So they had forgotten to switch the room number on the labels. Mm-hmm. This is how babies get switched. Anyway, but she said, and so she was like, this isn't my baby. And they were like, oh my gosh. So they take the baby back. Well, her roommate just thought it was hilarious because she's like, of all the people, you know, like that's who, you know, I'm super sassy and just couldn't get enough of the fact that they brought the wrong baby to, and she's basically tried to feed it, nurse it.
Just like The Office.
Yep. Oh yes. And that's what I told my mom. I'm like, mom, there's a full blown Office episode and Pam nurses. And it's like, we're doing it. We're nursing.
I know, it's the opposite. She was like so excited. Yeah. Yay. And it's like, actually, that's not your kid. This is the opposite. Oh my gosh. Yay. It's not my kid.
Yes. Did you know in that scene, the lactation specialist in that scene is her husband in real life. And so I saw some outtakes of Jim like trying to make, or like they were trying to make each other feel uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I thought that was funny.
That's the worst. Wouldn't you just hate that guy? Yes.
You're like,
got milk.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for opening up.
Oh gosh.
What is wrong with me?
Got all the puns.
I didn't even mean to. It just like, it's
just popped out, if you will. Okay, we better go. We better go.
We
need to wrap this mm-hmm. up.
We went from a 3 to a 9 real fast, if you know what I mean. Anyway, thank you for being willing to share these crazy experiences.
I don't think we like got too
graphic.
No, it was more just wacky.
Yeah. And if you are expecting and you've listened to this, I hope we didn't scare you because you're already on the ride and mm-hmm. you can't get off. So you're just going to have to commit and do it and you're going to be just fine. And even if it is crazy, just remember.
Someday you'll laugh about this.
All right, you guys, keep gabbing along with us. Again, thank you so much for your support on Instagram. Keep sharing our podcast. Keep telling people about it so that we can get more gabbers this season.
And we'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm like,
we can't even put this in. She's going to be offended.
I know. What's that?
Do you think if you had two uteruses,
uteri,
that you could get pregnant with two babies?
So I saw a show about that once.
Oh, yeah?
And I think very, very rare. Uh-huh. But I think that it can happen.
Yeah.
I would give my high teeth to watch a man.
Your eye teeth.
Eye teeth.
I thought it was high teeth.
Eye teeth.
Like these are the high ones.
No, like there's like, they're called like, you know how they're like the incisors, the molars, the eye teeth.
Good to know. Apparently she didn't close the thing.
Right.
Sure, get in the bath.
Is there a bath? Did someone not tell me that I could
get... Is this a nurse?
Yeah.
Is this some lady? You take a bath, honey.
Yeah.
Let me unhook you. Some grandma from next door.
You look like you could use a bath. Okay, so.
Let's get you in the bath.
I need to say that again because crossed is my pet peeve. I don't know what just happened. Okay. It's okay. Just be quiet, kid. I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.